Hello, Faith Lutheran Church, and I want to take a second here today, Monday, May 9th, to do a reflection on some of our discussion yesterday. If you missed it, you can catch up. If you were there, you can review. But just briefly, I want to talk about some of our discussion we had in our adult Bible class from 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and how it fits in with our epistle reading from John's Revelation, chapter 7, our epistle reading for Sunday. You know, Paul is writing in 2 Corinthians to the church there in Corinth, and this is his second letter. We've studied through his first and half of his second now, so we know he's trying to straighten things out. He's trying to get them back on the narrow way under the cross of Jesus. And so he writes these words. Now, I'm not going to read all that we read. We studied chapter 8, verses 1 through 15, but I'm going to read a little at the beginning and a little at the end. Okay, here's what he says. I want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. Now, Paul's talking here just real briefly. He reminds them of the grace of God that has been given to the church in Macedonia and likewise to the church there in Corinth. And in other words, they are there by the grace of God, that God's gracious work in the world through Christ and Him crucified has created this body of people who walk in faith and trust in Him, their Savior, Jesus Christ. And even in the midst of this severe test, whatever's going on in the Macedonian region, the severe test of affliction, this extreme poverty, even in the midst of these terrible trials and afflictions, the church of Macedonia has decided to support the saints in Corinth and to support the work of the apostles in the church and to care for them. And they're doing it out of their abundance, full of joy, begging Paul to let them do this work, this ministry or service to their brothers and sisters. This flows out of faith we talked about yesterday, that even though they're in the midst of this trial, they know they are the Lord's, that He's going to bring them into salvation, right? He's going to complete the work that He has begun in them. He's going to bring them to the marriage feast of the Lamb that He has prepared for them, the wedding feast that has been set for them. Or like our psalm yesterday, Psalm 23, He's going to bring them into beautiful green pastures and fountains of living water, quiet places of rest. He's going to bring them through the valley of deep darkness, the valley of death. So they know this. And out of this grace, this salvation that they have received, flows in over an abundance this work of love and care for their neighbor. Now, Paul is talking to the Corinthians, not the Macedonians, but he's using the Macedonian church as an example for the Corinthians. This is what it looks like to walk in faith. And he says towards the end, verses 13, 14, 15, for I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. As it is written, whoever has gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. So I think a lot of our discussion in class yesterday was related to how faith produces works within us. And it, whether or not we're in plenty or in need, health or sick, sorrow or joy, no matter what the circumstance may be, the faith we hold to drives what we do. Okay, when things are good, we are generous and kind. When things are bad, we rest in the Lord. We know we are His, and we receive help from others. So whether we are giving or receiving, or Paul says, in need or abundance, we care. The church cares for one another in faith. We don't cling to what we have. When times are abundant, we don't hoard it and cling to it as if it's going to be our Savior. It's not. We only have one risen Lord, and it's not our abundance. It is Christ Jesus. So something I did not bring up, but I want to share with you today, is that the writer of Hebrews defines faith for us. And I think this relates well to our epistle reading. So the writer to the Hebrews defines faith. What is faith? Faith is, this is chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. So faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the certainty. You know what you hope for. You know it's going to come. It's the confidence of things that you do not see. Okay? Blessed are those who believe and have not seen. Okay? So faith, you have great confidence in the things that God has promised you in Christ Jesus. The grace of God. He has called you. He's gathered you around His things. He meets you in those things. He's bringing you to that final day, to that new creation that we've been hearing about from the throne room of God in the book of Revelation. Okay, so in the book of Revelation, chapter 7, last week and yesterday, we see the Lamb of God who's standing there at the throne as if He were slain. So there is Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And He's the risen Lord, risen and ascended Lord there. He's got the holes in His hands, the hole in His side. And there around Him, we heard yesterday, is a great multitude, myriad of myriad, thousands of thousands, people from every nation and tongue, singing and praising and worshiping God and the Lamb. And we find out that they're wearing white robes, and they've been brought by someone to the throne, to this place, to worship. God is in their midst, and they are caring and loving and ministering to the Lord day and night. There's great joy and great promise. All right? These are the ones, the elders tells John, that are washed in the blood of the Lamb. So these are the picture of the church, okay? They've been called by God. They've been rescued, delivered from slavery, from darkness, and brought into the kingdom of the light of the Son of God. Their sins are forgiven. They've been made new, and they've been brought to this table, this place, this location, the house that God has prepared. You know, you can picture all of the different parables and stories that Jesus tells about this moment. Now, God makes promises here in Revelation 15, 16, and 17. This is what our faith clings to. We have this assurance as we live in this world, in good times and in bad, in the midst of suffering and plenty, comfort. Here's the promises. So this is Revelation chapter 7. 7 verses 15, 16, and 17, right? Because they are washed in the blood of the Lamb, therefore they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple, and He who sits on the throne will shelter them in His presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. He will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. So what does faith cling to in this life when you are, like the Macedonian church, going through a grave affliction of some kind, whatever it might be, a diagnosis, a loss, a death, grief, poverty of some kind, what do you cling to? Well, you cling to these truths, that there is a God, a maker of heaven and earth. There is his only begotten Son who has poured out his blood for you. And there is the Spirit of God calling you by the Word of God. Indeed, he has called you and he has washed you in the Word and the water. So you are a precious Lamb of God, and Jesus is shepherding you to this moment, to this place. And you have this assurance, right? In our gospel reading in John 10, the shepherd says, Jesus says, no one will snatch you from my hands. No one will snatch you from the Father's hands. There's no one greater than him. So these promises, as the writer to Hebrews says, are sure and certain, and you can have confidence in them. And that is what faith is. It clings to these things. And when you're clinging to these promises of God and you have this assurance, things that happen in this life are of no consequence, right? Whether your government is crumbling, whether we're trading what is true for what is a lie, whether or not you have or don't have, you are well or not well, whether you grieve or don't grieve, whether you are terrified of what might come, you have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. That is, that he is your God and that he will bring you to a place where there will be no more hunger or thirst or scorching heat, devastation. He will bring you to a place of peace and goodness, a place where there is springs of living water, and he will wipe away every tear from your eye. This is what drives, I think, the Macedonian church to do what they do. And this is what I hope drives you, Faith Lutheran Church, in your life as you interact with one another, as we join together around his precious word and his body and blood. I hope you're driven by faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord, who has made great promises to us. And he can be trusted. For all the promises of God find their yes in Jesus, our risen Lord. In his name we give thanks and praise. Amen. All right, Faith Lutheran Church, there you have it. As always, I encourage you to come to Bible class at 9 o'clock on Sundays or 9:30 on Wednesday mornings. And come, of course, to worship your Lord and receive his gifts. He promises to meet you there in the Word and the bread and the wine. There's no substitute. So I'll see you Sunday or Wednesday. God bless and keep you this week.